God, and that God honors bold prayers. That God wants you and I to come with bold prayers because he will honor them if we come in the name of Jesus. We've also learned that what you pray reveals what you believe about God. What you pray reveals what you believe about God. And so it's imperative that you and I understand and know that God is for you. I don't know if we all believe that, do we? Do you really believe that God is for you? Because if you don't believe that God is for you, you will not pray bold prayers. You will not pray big prayers. Your prayers, as well as my prayers, will be small because we won't believe that God is for us. We've also learned that you become that man, that woman, through how you pray. That prayers are really life scripts. That prayers are really prophecies. That you and I have a choice. We can either let life happen to us, or we can make life happen by inviting God to come and to move and to work in our hearts and in our lives and in our homes. We've also learned that we need to dream big, that we need to circle those dreams. We need to circle those fears. We need to circle those promises. And once we dream big, we need to pray hard. And we've learned that praying hard is two-dimensional. It means praying as though it all depends on God, and yet working as though it all depends on us. And praying as though it all depends on God means praying hard. Sometimes we need to double circle that prayer request or that dream or that fear. And we can do that through fasting. And we learned about that last week. But then we need to work as though it all depends on us. That you are part of the answer to the prayer that you are praying. And so God's going to ask you to do some hard things. It may be to have a conversation. It may be to stop doing something. It may be to start doing something. But God's going to ask you to participate. He's going to ask you to do some hard things because you are an answer to your prayers. And this morning what we want to do is we want to look at the thought of thinking long. That if you're really going to be a circle maker, you're going to dream big, you're going to circle those promises, you're going to circle those fears, but you're going to also pray hard, and in praying hard, you must think long. Because here's our tendency. Would you agree with me that we overestimate what we can do in a year and we underestimate what we can do in 5 years? You know, all of us become a little bit anxious, don't we? When we pray and we want it when? Yesterday. And what happens is if you don't think long, you will begin to experience large doses of discouragement. You will become fatigued in your praying because you're not thinking long. Now, for you and I to think long, you and I must think differently. It's the key to thinking long. You must think differently. In your prayer life, in your prayer times, as you circle those promises, as you circle those dreams, as you circle those fears, you must think long, and to think long, you must think differently. Otherwise, you will become discouraged. Look what it says in God's Word. Isaiah tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So what is he saying here? He is saying to you and me that you do not think like God thinks. Your ways are not God's ways. And so what he is saying is, Dwight, you don't think like I think. The way in which you think things should happen are not always necessarily the ways that I think they should happen. And so you're going to have to think differently. Because whenever you circle a dream, whenever you circle a prayer, what happens is most of the time we're never on target. We're a little off kilter in the way in which God wants that to happen, or the way in which God is going to move. And so he's going to bring you and I back, because God's more interested in your character than he is in your circumstances. You get that? He's more interested in you and I becoming holy than you and I being happy. You see, we don't think like God thinks. And because of that, we have to think differently. Otherwise, you will become very, very discouraged. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of us have become discouraged about something that we have circled and that you have quit praying for? Probably all of our hands would go up. You know why? Because we think it should happen this way. We think it should happen in this time frame. And God is saying to you and me, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And so for you and I to be able to be persistent in our prayers, we have to think long. And for you and I to think long, we must think differently. You see, prayer is not just about changing your circumstances. It's about changing us. It's not just about changing the external. It's about changing the internal in you and me. And the bigger the vision, the harder you're going to have to pray, and the longer you're going to have to think. Now, I know that we live in an instant society. We want it to happen right now. But God's ways are not your ways, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. So what happens if we don't see it immediately? What happens in your life if you begin to pray, you begin to circle some items, and it doesn't happen within 7 days? You see, we become discouraged. We begin to think that God doesn't care or that he doesn't hear. And it takes an attitude of thinking long, because we want our prayers answered now. And so we must think long if we're going to be circle makers. If we're going to circle those promises, if we're going to circle those fears, if we're going to circle those dreams, we have to think long. And in thinking long, you must think different. But you also must trust God's timing. For you and I to think long, we have to think differently, but we also must trust God's timing. Do you know that God's time and your time are not the same? You see, we think in 24-hour periods, and God thinks in eternity, forever and ever and ever. You see, God is not limited by time. We think we have 100 years for God to do something, and God says, no, you don't understand. I have forever to do something. You see, listen, life will go on and on and on, because everybody spends forever somewhere. You see, what happens is God has placed eternity in your heart. You're going to live forever somewhere. And it all depends upon what you do with the person of Christ, whether you will spend it with God or separated from God. But you're an eternal being. You do not die and then return to the earth. No way. And so God doesn't view life in a 100-year span. That's why the promises that you're claiming, the promises that I'm claiming, the ones that you're circling, the one that I'm circling, they will be answered. Maybe not in your time, maybe not in my time, but in God's time, they will. And so we have to think long. And for us to think long, you must think differently, and you must trust God's timing. Look what it says here in 2 Peter. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to come to repentance or to repent. What he is talking about here is the second coming of Christ. And people wonder why God hasn't come back. It's for your sake and it's for my sake. And it's the same way in answering your prayer request or my prayer request. You see, God has a plan. And his ways are not your ways. And so if your prayer is not being answered, quote unquote, in a visible way right now, it's for your good. It's for your good. Maybe you're not ready yet. Maybe you're not ready. It reminds me of a man who was sizing up God. And he asked God, God, how long is a million years to you? And he says, well, a million years is about a second. The man said, well, how about $1 million? He said, well, $1 million is like a penny to me. And the guy said, God, can you spare $1 million? He said, yes, wait a second. You see, God's ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. And the reason why we quit on prayer, the reason why we come back and we think that prayer doesn't work is because we don't think long. We think in our time frame instead of in God's time frame. Now, there's a man in the Bible. His name is Daniel. He's an incredible man. He was an incredible prayer warrior. He was an incredible circle maker, if you will. And Daniel not only prayed hard, but he had the ability to think long. You see, Daniel was brought into captivity. The Babylonian nation had captured Judah and brought them into captivity. And Daniel was praying for God to move and God to work. And maybe you're not familiar with Daniel, but Daniel is the one who got thrown into the lion's den. And do you know why he got thrown into the lion's den? Because he refused to quit praying. He just continued to pray. And he would pray in the morning, he would pray in the afternoon, he would pray in the evening, and not like we saw here earlier. I mean, he really connected with God. He was intense. He was intentional. He was intimate with God. And this same Daniel was in the midst of a fast. He was fasting 21 days, and his fast was that he would deny himself everything except for fruit and vegetables and water. And in the midst of this fast, he was praying, and he ends up having an encounter with an angel, and we're going to read about that in a moment. And the angel told Daniel, your prayers were heard the first day that you uttered them, but I was resisted by the prince of Persia, and I could not make it until right now. What was going on was spiritual warfare. You see, when you pray and I pray, what happens is we're engaged in spiritual warfare. Do you realize that you have an enemy? Do you realize that you have someone who wants to seek, kill, and destroy you and everything that you love and everything that is precious to you? And so we're in a war, and we see this here in the life of Daniel. And as we look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, I see three things that you and I need to embrace if we're going to think long, if we're going to pray hard and think long on those items that we have circled, on those promises, on those dreams, and on those fears. And so let's look at it this morning. Here's the first thing that I see that you and I need to grasp. When you pray hard and you think long, it expresses humility. It expresses humility because it expresses a dependency upon God. And we see this in Daniel's life. This man was full of humility. He knew who his God was. He had an accurate view of who God was. And he humbled himself before God because he knew that his ways were not God's ways and his thoughts were not God's thoughts. And so let's look at this. Here's what it says in Scripture. The angel is speaking. He says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, check this out, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to that. Now the angel says here, the first time that you uttered your prayers, the first time that you shared your request, guess what? It was heard. It was heard. And yet something is going on here. And he tells Daniel, I have come in response to your prayer request. And what I see here is that Daniel had a spirit of humility. The angel came and said, do not be afraid, because it is fear that keeps us from focusing on God. The fear of not getting heard. The fear of God not working for us. The fear of maybe our requests not being answered. And what happens is fear begins to grip us. And we begin to think like this. What if? What if I fail? What if no answer comes? What if I get rejected? What if, what if, what if? And too many times you and I waste a lot of energy in the arena of the what if. And we can't walk in fear. We must walk in humility. We must walk in dependence upon God. And Scripture tells us that the moment that Daniel offered his prayer and humbled himself, he was heard. You see, humility is the biblical way to success. Humility is the biblical way to success. And it's all throughout Scripture. Just as pride is the way to failure. The Bible says that God opposes the proud. That means that he works against those who are full of pride. But he gives grace, he gives his strength, he gives his resources to those who are humble. Look what Peter says. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, check this out, that he may what? Lift you up in due time, in God's timing. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. So if you're going to focus on God's vision, on God's promise, on God's dream for your life, you're going to have to set your mind to get understanding, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You must think differently, and you must humble yourself before God. It says here that if we will humble ourselves before God, he will lift you up in what? Due time. Not your time. Not when you think it should happen, but when God thinks it should happen. You know, I've had so many prayers that I have circled that if God would have answered them in my time frame, I was not fully prepared to seize those opportunities. I thought I was. You know why? Because I was arrogant. And I wanted to say, bring it on, God, I'm ready. And he's saying, no, Dwight, you're not ready. You're not mature enough. You need to grow up. If you're really asking for this, because if I would give it to you right now, you would squander it. You would lose it. And so we see here with Daniel, it says here that he set his mind on getting understanding, and he humbled himself. And for you and I to think long, it's an expression of humility. What we're saying to God ultimately is saying, God, you know what? You know what's best for me. You know the right timing for me. You know when I can handle it and when I can't handle it. Patty and I went to college together, and people ask, well, why didn't you date her then? Because I wasn't ready for her. I couldn't have handled her. She was way more mature than I was in college. And by the way, the girls are usually more mature than us fellas. Y'all right on that one? And so most of the time, us fellas, we have some growing up to do. And if I would have tried to date her then, I probably would have lost her. Y'all right on that one? And so what happens is thinking long is an expression of humility, because what you're saying is, God, in due time, you will lift me up. In due time, you will bring this about, because your timing is perfect. You're never ahead and you're never behind. And then he says here, cast all of your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Because you know what? We worry ourselves sick, don't we? We're so afraid we're going to miss something. We're so afraid it's not going to work out. And so it's amazing that Peter says, humble yourself before God because in due time he will lift you up. And by the way, I know you're going to worry about it. So just cast all of your anxiety and your worry upon him because he cares for you. And so we see here with Daniel that thinking long is an expression of humility. And when you are humble before God, you won't try to do things in your own strength or in your own power or in your own time. You will trust God. And so to pray hard and to think long is an expression of humility. God, I trust your timing. Here's the second thing that I learned from Daniel about thinking long. It not only is an expression of humility, but it ensures our breakthrough. It ensures our breakthrough. Look what it says here in Daniel chapter 13. But the prince of Persia kingdom resisted me for 21 days. The reason why Daniel did not get a breakthrough was because he was in intense battle. The messenger was in a war. The messenger was in a battle. There was spiritual warfare going on. Look what it says here. But the prince of the Persia kingdom resisted me for 21 days. It lasted 21 days. How does that fit in our culture? How does that work in our society? How does that work in your world, 21 days? When we don't get email, we get angry and mad. When Verizon goes out for a few hours in our area, we're ticked. We're angry. We're mad. We want to give up. Well, I'm going to drop Verizon. I'm going someplace else where they got their stuff together, right? And so the fact of the matter is, look at our society today. You know, we text all the time, right? Because we can't wait. We email because who would want to use snail mail now when you can text and you can just express yourself quickly and fast? We live in a society that values instant gratification. We live in a society that knows very little about being persistent. And I would suggest that's why we have very little breakthroughs in our lives spiritually. That's why we're still stuck in our addiction, by the way. Well, Dwight, you said that if I would pray that God would deliver me of this addiction, and I prayed and he didn't do it. When did you pray? Yesterday. And what happens is the reason why you're giving up is because you're not thinking long. Do you realize that you're in a spiritual warfare? You're in a fight? And whether it's for your marriage or whether it's for your son or your daughter or whether it's for your health or whether it's for your finances or whether it's for your work, that you have someone who is resisting that, that they do not want that to happen. They do not want that to come to fruition, because when your prayers are answered, what happens to your faith? Your faith in God begins to climb, begins to grow. And the enemy does not want that to happen. And so you know what? He will pull everything out to cause discouragement in your life and in my life. What do you think would have happened if Daniel only would have prayed 19 days? Think he would have heard from God? How about 20 days? What do you think? Would he have heard from God? What have you quit praying on today? And you know what? You never realized that if you would have prayed one more day, you would have had a breakthrough. Now this isn't to cause guilt in your life. This is to help you to have an understanding that you're in a war. God's not a genie in a bottle. There is good and there is evil. And God wants control of your life, but somebody else wants control of your life. God wants good for your life, but there's somebody who wants evil and destruction for your life. And you have to understand this. We have to understand this. So let me ask you a question. How quick does God have to act for you? Do you give him, God, I'm giving you 3 days to change her. If you don't change my wife in 3 days, I'm gone. I'm out of here. Do you give God time limits? You see, to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. See, you have to trust God's timing. And drawing circles, okay, often seems long and boring. It's frustrating when you've been doing it a while. And you start to wonder whether God really what? Cares. If God really hears. And so you've circled your health. You've circled your children. You've circled your career. You've circled your marriage. You circled that friend who doesn't know Christ. And you say, what do I need to do, Dwight? You need to pray hard. You need to pray as though it all depends on God. And maybe you need to double circle it. And maybe you need to fast over it. And give something up and say, God, I need you to move in such an incredible way that, you know what, I'm willing to deny myself to be able to connect with you. And then you need to work as though it all depends on you. And maybe God's going to ask you to do something hard and difficult. And then you need to think long. And you need to keep circling. In Daniel's case, it was 70 years. It was 70 years. And you know what? Much of what Daniel was praying about, he wasn't going to be the benefactor on. It was going to be for those who came behind him. But you see, Daniel was thinking long. Let me ask you a question. Do you only pray for things that benefit you? That's a hello, by the way. Caleb is 21 years old, and for 21 years, I've been praying for his wife. Say, you're crazy. No, I'm not. The moment every one of our kids came into this world, I started praying for their spouse. You know why? Because that's the most important decision they will ever make in their life apart from accepting Jesus Christ. For 21 years, I've been praying. I don't know if I'm going to have to pray till 25, 35, 45. I don't know. But I'm going to keep praying. You know why? Because it'll be the greatest decision that he will ever make apart from Jesus Christ. It'll be the decision, you know this if you're married, it'll be the most influential factor in all of his life. I pray it for Sarah. I pray it for Jonathan. I pray it for Benjamin. And you know what? I haven't gotten any results. But you see, listen, when you think long and you pray hard and long, you think it's boring, but it's anything but boring. Because when it comes to fruition, you know what you will say? It was worth it. It was worth it. And so what happens is when you pray hard and you think long, it's an expression of humility. But it also ensures a spiritual breakthrough. Look what it says here. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, you have to realize that being a circle maker and circling the promises and the dreams, you're not, it's more than just praying for something, it's praying through. It's the willingness to do whatever it takes to be able to make that happen. So let me ask you a question. What have you given up on praying for? And you have determined in your mind that, you know what, this isn't going to happen. This is just not going to happen. And you've quit praying on it. You know what I would challenge you to do this morning? I would challenge you to go back and recircle it again. And I would tell God, you know what? I am so sorry for my lack of faith and my lack of commitment. You know, some of you have given up on your marriage. You just think that your marriage is always going to be a low-grade fever marriage. And you just, you know, you've thought he's never going to change. She's never going to change. Some of us might have given up on a son or a daughter, or maybe a dream. And you haven't given up on it because God has told you to give up on it. You've given up on it because you're not thinking long. It just didn't happen when you wanted it to happen. And there are things, listen, there are things that I pray about at New Point that maybe will not even happen in my lifetime. And I'm okay with that. Because you see, prayer has no time limits. You know, we're talking about people. We're talking about good and we're talking about evil. And I believe many of my prayers will be answered long after I am gone, if Christ does not come back. Look what it says here. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the what? At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. How do you deal with discouragement? You think long. And thinking long is an expression of humility, and it ensures a spiritual breakthrough. Let me give you this last one that I see here from Daniel. It enables you to discern your role in God's plan. Thinking long enables you to discern your role in God's plan. Look what it says here. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. Now check out what he says. Now I have come to what? To explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. I take that as this. Daniel, I am going to help you understand your role in your prayer requests. I'm going to help you to define what I am going to ask of you to do. And that's why we have to think long. You know, some of us have circled dreams and you don't even know the role that you're supposed to play in that dream. You're looking at the end result. You want this dream to be fulfilled because of the fruit that will come if that dream is fulfilled. But you have a role to play. And thinking long, what happens is God enables you and I to begin to understand the role that we must play if that's going to happen. You see, if I'm going to have a great marriage, I have a role to play. It's not just praying for Patty that she shapes up, okay, and that she becomes a great wife. No. You know what? God has a role for me to play as a loving husband, a giver, a protector, a provider. And so what happens is what Daniel is checking out here is this, is he's finding his role in fulfilling the dream that he has circled. And so it is with you and me. Look what it says here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Why? Because your ways are not his ways. And he will what? He will make your path straight. He will define your role. And he'll let you know the role that you need to take on in bringing that dream, that promise, or dealing with that fear. So you got to pray hard and you got to think long. And Daniel, in his thinking long, guess what? It expressed humility, it enabled a spiritual breakthrough, and it enabled him to define his role. And you know what? Most of us pray with this ending, ASAP, as soon as possible, God. What would happen if you and I would change our line there? Instead of ASAP, as soon as possible, what would happen if you and I would take on the attitude, as long as it takes, Lord? I'm going to keep praying for as long as it takes, because I believe this is right. I believe this is good. I believe this will bring about glory to you. So you know what? I'm going to change from being an ASAP person. And I'm going to begin to be a man or woman who says, you know what, God? As long as it takes, I will pray hard. And I will not give up. You see, I believe that God wants to use you and me the way that he wanted to use Israel. And Isaiah spoke to them. Look what it says here, and then I'm done. Isaiah 43. You are my witnesses and my servants. Do you realize that we are his witnesses and servants? Chosen to know and to believe me and to understand that I alone am God. That there is no other God. There never was and never will be. I am the Lord and there is no other Savior. Whenever you have thrown away your idols, I have shown you my power. You know what that means? Whenever you've dealt with the sin in your life, you know what? I've shown my power. Psalm 66, 18, you might want to write that one down, says that if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, God's always more interested in your character than he is in your circumstances. You know, I've got some pretty big circles that I've been circling. And I was at the hospital a few weeks ago, and I prayed with somebody, and I was walking down the hallway of the hospital. And you might think this is weird, but it's true. And as clear as I'm speaking to you right now, God says, I want you to go into this hospital room, and I want you to pray for that person. And I said, oh, come on, God. You're kidding me. And he said, no. And I just said, well, I don't think this is you. And I kept walking. I got all the way to the elevators. And here's what God said to me. Hey, Mason, you're asking some pretty big things from me. I'm asking you to do this small little thing of walk into a room and pray with a person that you don't know. You want me to hear your prayer? I want you to hear my prayer. My prayer is that you'll go back there and you'll pray with this person. And you know what? Because I want those circles to be answered. You know what I did? About turn face. I walked right back in that room. There was a lady there who was probably about 80 years old. And just so that you'll know, I'm full of fear, okay? I hate to be misunderstood. And I walked in there and I said, hey, I said, you may not understand this, but I just felt like I needed to come by and tell you that God loves you. And she said, thanks. And she was no doubt going to have surgery, heart surgery. And I said, would it be okay if I prayed for you? And she said, sure, I'd like that. And so I just said, God, may this lady know that. I asked her name. Her name was Betsy. I said, God, may Betsy know that you love her and may you be with her in her surgery. Amen. I said, bye, Betsy. She said, bye. Do you know when I got in my car and I started praying about my circles again, do you think I prayed with faith or fear? I prayed with faith. You know why? Because I did that which God asked me to do. And that's what he is saying here. He says, with one word I have saved you. You have seen me do it. You are my witnesses that it is true. From eternity to eternity, I am God. Check this out. No one can oppose what I do. Prayer can do anything that God can do. Let's pray. God, I pray for myself this morning that I would be a man who would pray hard and think long. I pray that I wouldn't be just a dreamer, because dreams don't work unless you work. And so I pray for every person in this room here today that we would pray hard, that we would do everything that we possibly could in our own power. But then we would pray as though it all depends on you. And that we would think long. That we would realize that you are a God that's eternal. That you're not trapped by